Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k. Welcome, everybody, to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast, where each week we bring you education and information that will help you take your next step in building wealth through real estate. I'm your host, Lauren Wells, and joining me today for the first time in a very long time is your co-host, Chris Seveny.
Hey, when did you become host and I become co-host, I guess, is the question. I mean, it's been so long, you know.
You don't even know who's running the show anymore.
We're not both co-hosts, man, you know.
So today we wanted to hop on and record an episode and talk a little bit about, give a market update, things we're seeing in the industry. And I actually just returned from a due diligence conference, which I can talk a little bit about what that is in a second, and give some key takeaways and things to consider for investors, as it was a conference full of investment advisors and due diligence agents. So let's start with Chris. Market update. What are you seeing in today's market?
We are seeing a significant shift in product and product type that we're starting to see hit the market. Definitely starting to see an uptick in the non-performing loans. Now, the summer months are usually slower anyways, but we are still seeing on average, you know, 20 to 25 million in non-performing loans per week and roughly about 250 million in loans per week. And now we've seen a pretty big uptick in the non-performing, almost double that now. We're seeing the last several weeks, we've seen 40 to 50 million in non-performing loans starting to come out on the market. So I think finally the interest rate hikes from whenever they started hiking rates, I can't even remember now, they're starting to impact borrowers and their abilities with all the credit card debt and other types of debt they have, starting to really impact their ability to pay. And these sellers looking to not hold on to these loans, unlike periods before where home prices were going through the roof. Now that they're stagnant, these sellers who are holding loans that are non-performing and not doing anything with them, you know, costs them money. So it's easier for them to look to liquidate.
And just to kind of draw from like where we've been the past two quarters in terms of inventory, you know, in Q1, you know, we were seeing what, 300 million across our desk, Q2, mm-hmm. 300 million a month. And now yep. we're like 300 million a week in inventory.
Mm-hmm. So it's from two things. One is, as we've grown as a company, which we've tripled in size since January, our growth, we've been able to work with a lot more sellers.
I'm going to stop you right there. Tripled in size. You're not talking about staff. You're talking, unless I'm unaware of some staff we have working for us. No, you're talking about capital raise that we're able to deploy into assets.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Our staff is the same. We've got more capital and a lot more assets under our belt. And because we're now much significant greater in size, it opens a lot more doors for us to certain other players. Why don't you talk a little bit about not only the conference you were at, but even before that, a little bit about the due diligence process, what got us to this conference? Because I think a lot of people, when I'm starting to go to some of these conferences, especially ones where there are people looking to invest in passive income, they don't know where to start on the due diligence side of things. And I think that's significantly lacking in this industry. But you went to this conference last week that they've been doing due diligence on us since February or March. So why don't you talk a little bit about the conference and the process that we had to go through?
Yeah. So due diligence conference, essentially, actually, I'm going to back up even further. When you're looking to raise capital from the masses, like we've done with our Regulation A and Regulation D offerings, typically start with friends, family, and then the next kind of tier would be the broker, dealer, and investment advisor channel. Now, in order to have your offering looked at and considered and taken seriously by these broker, dealers, and investment advisors,
you need to have what's called a due diligence report, a third-party report where the third party comes in and asks you for every piece of paper on your business possible and all sorts of operational controls that you have in place, financial models that you've run, how it's your company is structured, the assets you're investing in, everything. So taking a deep dive into your business, your PPM or offering statement and kind of projections and giving their unbiased opinion on how buttoned up your offering is. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? You know, how long have you been in business? So imagine what an individual investor would be asking, but then quadruple it and go deeper as far as questions. Yeah.
I mean, they had an attorney, a compliance officer, a CFA as the three main people. So one was reviewing pro formas, one was reviewing our compliance issues, and the other is an attorney reviewing all the documents.
Yeah. And so we meet with them. This whole process kicked off in mid-April. We had our on-site meeting end of April, and our report was published the first or second day of June, I believe. Now, throughout that, we were meeting with them. They were asking us questions, and it was a back and forth, providing additional documentation or clarification about what we meant in the offering statement and about our kind of what our business model looked like in general. So once this report is published, you can then go to the broker dealer world and they're able to access this report. And for those of you who don't know, a broker dealer would be like a Schwab. So that's what a broker dealer is. Under them, you have the investment advisors. In order for an investment advisor to invest in one of his clients' funds into an alternative asset, which our fund is basically anything outside of stocks and bonds, their broker dealer, so let's say Schwab in this case, has to sign off that they accept this offering on their platform. Now, we've done this due diligence report. We can now send it to, or rather, the broker dealers can order it to see what this third party has to say about our offering. And so this conference was actually hosted by one of the third party due diligence companies called Factrite. They put on an awesome conference, by the way. And at that conference, you had probably about 50 plus sponsors. And of those sponsors, ourselves being one of them, maybe 25 of them spoke to a group of about 250 investment advisors and broker dealers. So getting up on stage, presenting your offering, and then they have this due diligence report to kind of dig into and ask any additional questions. So I just attended that. That was the first one that we sponsored and were able to speak at. And it was a pretty interesting experience. A lot of great feedback on both our offering and just the kind of the state of the market, which I think when you're looking at the news today and you're looking at investing, you think, oh my gosh, it's all doom and gloom. But the biggest takeaway that I'm hearing from investment advisors is that the whole 60 portfolio model isn't working. So I think this year they had a lot of new attendees that hadn't attended in the past from the investment advisor side. So advisors are now starting to look outside knowing that that 60-40 model isn't good enough for their clients anymore. And alternatives provide another source of income or source of growth for their clients' portfolios. And so going into this, you're listening again, these investment advisors are kind of locked in this room. At some point, I kind of feel bad for them. Like I can, 20 presentations each, 20 minutes each. And they're listening to them and they're able to get kind of an idea of what's going on in the market, what the different alternatives, what is an alternative even, and assess kind of if this is something that their client base would be interested in.
Yeah, a few things though that I just want people listening, because we do have passive investors and some active investors. If you're thinking, oh, I want to run out and go get a Factrite report, plan to spend tens of thousands of dollars. These are not a $250 or $500 or $1,000 report that gets published. And you don't get to see the final draft of that report. That's the most interesting thing, that you get to see all the context and so forth, but the final recommendations we actually don't get to see, which is unique in its own way, but that's why it's a third-party report. You mentioned this conference and kind of where things are headed. One of the things I'm hearing a lot in the space and seeing in some of the groups that we're a part of is the experience is becoming more and more a factor from what I'm hearing for raising money and really looking at the sponsor versus the deal is what I'm hearing a lot of from a lot of people right now. Is it this very similar that you're hearing as well at the conference that you're at?
Yeah. So I think there's kind of two things that are at play. I think that it's the offering, the asset class, and anyone can make bold assumptions or promises in their offering. So then that's where you have to go to the track record. So I think every investment advisor has a different kind of clientele. So one thing I took away from this conference was that not everyone is a fit for your product. You want everyone to be, but some investment advisors might have people who only do growth products, for example, or are only interested, I guess I could say, in alternatives that are growth specific. Some might only have people that are interested in alternatives that are passive income plays. So I think it's finding the opportunities that align with your client base. Again, clients being the clients of these advisors. And then from there, okay, what is the track record of those sponsors look like? Have they done this before? How many years have they been doing this? What does their track record look like? So yeah, they may have done this, but their past two funds didn't do well. Probably something I would dig into a little more. And then yes, of course, the ones that have been in there, you know, there were some big names there and some of those people, they've been doing it and they have that name behind them. So every fund that they launch, you know, is going to continue to help them grow. So I do think there is something to both track record, but also continuing to show up within the alt space, if that makes sense.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. We wanted to take a moment and tell you more about our passive income fund at 7E, which is open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. Our latest offering targets an 8% annual return distributed monthly with the ability to potentially achieve a greater return through our bonus share program. If you'd like more information, reach out to us at invest@7einvestments.com to learn more. Thank you. Yeah. The other thing we saw at the conference I was at this past weekend in Nashville, which was the Wealth Without Wall Street conference, which again is, you know, self-explanatory. It's trying to build wealth outside of Wall Street, which is all alternative investments. And 125 passive investors there. The interesting thing is in today's environment, like you mentioned, a sponsor, but people also looking a lot more at risk. And several years ago, people were jumping in on, and I'm not picking on multifamily by any way, shape, or form, but people knew that they're jumping in on a multifamily deal that was offering, you know, 15-20+% returns. Today, people are much more conservative because, you know, there's a lot of whispers and things we're seeing in the multifamily space of distributions being stopped or issues in some of these offerings. And people are really starting to focus more on, okay, what is my risk profile in this? And it's not always about, okay, I turn to page 15 and that's what they say the return is going to be. It's reading the offering and understanding, okay, what is my debt or my equity? You know, am I preferred or am I after? Are they charging three different sets of fees so they're making all their money up front? Or, you know, how is that structure? And we were getting a lot of great questions during our presentation on that, which I was proud of because I'm glad these people are doing that type of due diligence to understand the different types of offerings.
Yeah, I think a big question I got was because it's kind of a double-edged sword because this is my second time I've presented our offering to a due diligence kind of group. And the feedback the first time, you know, because I am new to presenting to this crowd. And let me tell you, they're a tough crowd to get to laugh, which has not been my experience with most crowds in the past, or maybe I'm just not that funny. But I always ask for feedback. I want to get better, you know, at presenting and making sure and covering topics that are specific to their questions and clients' needs. So one of the recommendations I got from my first conference was to include some case studies. So great, easy. We grabbed a few case studies. I threw them in for this next deck. And when I presented on Monday, well, the case studies are amazing. They show that we do really well. They show that we far exceed our anticipated returns. In comes the double-edged sword of having at least 10 people come up to me after I spoke and say, hey, so like, can you give us upside? Can you give us like a percentage of profits? But I will say for every person that did that, there was another person that came up and said they loved it because it's a high preferred return or the risk is low. It's low risk, high preferred return. They understand that this is not a growth investment. So again, it was just interesting to hear kind of within two breaths, why are you not giving more away? I want more of your upside. And then someone say, this is a great option for my client. This is exactly what they're looking for. And so as people who, you know, are kind of leading this company, as founders of this company, I think my first reaction when I was meeting with these people was to be like, no, you're wrong. Like, this is a great offering. The day went on. I'm like, you know, this is not for everyone. Like everyone's going to want more sometimes, but the people that get it are the ones that we want to work with, are the advisors whose clients are best suited for our product.
Yeah. Which one interesting thing kind of that tied into that with the case studies and the people and, you know, the different thought process is lately what we've also been seeing, kind of spinning it back to the asset side, is the sellers that we're dealing with and their thought processes. And now building a persona of, we found certain sellers, what certain types of assets they really want to get rid of and that we can find decent pricing on, and other types of assets based on certain states that don't make sense. And really, as we buy more loans, building that persona also of that seller to understand. And like we've mentioned on many webinars, that we look at every asset. And by doing so, we can really get further evaluations of those assets. And that's something that is allowing us to really, I think, be very efficient, but also I think gives us a, I'll use a term like upside, or, you know, gives us an advantage to the competition based on our size.
Yeah, I agree. I think the feedback overall in terms of our offering was you're bringing a relatable asset class to the masses. One, relatable being people understand, people, advisors can go tell their clients, hey, they're investing in mortgage notes. This is how it works. The concept of a mortgage is something that most people understand. We're not talking oil and gas or anything, you know, energy that might be a little bit more complex. So it was one, it's that, it's relatable. And two, to the masses, because we do have the Reg A. So of the, say, 50 sponsors there, I don't know if I saw any other Reg A's. Now, I could be wrong, but I didn't see any other Reg A offerings out there. And it is something that is gaining traction with industry. So again, that feedback of you're on one, you have an asset class that most people can understand and resonate with. It's in a low risk because you have so much coverage on the assets that you're acquiring. And then two, anyone can get involved. You don't need to have 100,000 to get started.
Yeah. And also, we're probably the only equity fund that invests in debt. Most funds
are debt funds.
Are debt funds that invest in debt, which means the investor is getting either unsecured bond or some type of debt instrument, where on ours, you know, it's a, you know, an equity interest or shares within a company. So a little different as well from that standpoint. Where do you see it heading next 60 days? We got a busy schedule coming up over the next 2 months that we're attending, you know, several different conferences, both you and I. You know, where do you see, you know, talk a little bit about some of those conferences and where the positives of those?
Yeah, I think over the next conference, you know, now that we've kind of, it's having been to two of these conferences in the past month and a half, it's a lot of the same faces. So I think continuing to show up builds the kind of like, we're here, we're in this. And so, and in this industry, everyone kind of knows each other. So now that we've established ourselves as people who are here to play, so to speak, going into the big conference in October in Vegas called ADISA will be really great, because I think that we're going to be able to be more strategic about who we're meeting with, and you'll be there, I'll be there, and two more of our teammates will be there. So I think it'll be good for us to kind of continue to establish relationships with these advisors who have clients who are interested in alternatives. I think another big takeaway is there is a huge appetite for alternatives, both within the broker-dealer world and the RIA world. So they are not interchangeable, but they run alongside each other. And I think the RIA world is an untapped market with a ton of clients who are looking to diversify outside of stocks and bonds.
No, the summer has been very slow, and now we're really starting to hit the next peak. And next week, when I'm out in California, I'll be attending an IMN conference. And I'm curious to see, hear more about the note space, because I'm hearing a lot of rumblings, hearing what people are seeing, what's going on in the space. So it's going to be very interesting to kind of hear the feedback. And a few months ago, if you talked to us, bid-ask spread was wide, where the seller was asking price versus our price was way off, and that has completely shrunk. So we're starting to see a lot more trades occur.
So from this, like, I'd say my key takeaways as an investor, because we do have investors who are listening to Create Wealth and invest in maybe their first offering. My key takeaways are two things. If you have an investment advisor who is not looking into alternatives ask them why. If that's something you're interested, know that they do have the ability to invest in alternatives, and as do you as their client, to recommend or request that. I think that, again, a large majority of the advisors that showed up said it was their first time coming because they wanted to educate themselves more about alternatives out there. So I do, again, think that there is a big need for advisors to kind of get on board with investing in alternatives. And then the other takeaway is, honestly, do your due diligence. You won't be able to get a FactRight report, but if your broker dealer or your advisor's broker dealer has allowed something onto their platform, typically it's gone through a thorough due diligence process. So you might even have alternatives on your advising platform that you can invest in. Again, I just think it's worth reaching out to your advisor if that is something you're interested in and didn't know you could do through them.
And if you don't have an advisor, we provide people questionnaires of things to ask the sponsor and the type of information to ask in the research and how to do the research, because it's important if you're going to do it on your own to make sure you're asking the right questions and you're getting the proper responses.
Yep. Any final takeaways or things to keep an eye out for in Q4? We're almost there. I guess we're
almost there. I envision we are going to be, again, extremely busy in Q4, you know, as we've continued, you know, we're now over a year old. The company continues to grow and ramp up. And each quarter, we see, you know, some exponential growth each quarter. And I expect that to continue. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think, you know, I go to these conferences and hearing all the positive feedback and everything. I think my biggest thing is, like, I want everyone on our team and everyone to hear all the great things I'm hearing. You know, we already have some selling agreements in place with broker dealers, which is the gateway to essentially working with advisors and their clients. So I see the momentum continuing through September and really capitalizing on that at the end of September into Q4, as far as allocations from a different arm of capital raising for us than we've done in the previous year. So,
Great. Well, you want to wrap it up?
I will wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for joining us today on this episode update and recap of the CWS podcast. If you enjoyed the show, share it with a friend, subscribe, or leave us a review. Until next time.
Thank you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show, share with a friend, or subscribe to the show and leave us a review.